We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Boat culture and the sort of harbor culture is new.
Did you step on a pop top?
I'm on a boat. Take a good hard look.
Blow out your flip-flops.
Straight floating on a boat on the deep blue sea.
Cut my heel. Had to cruise on back home.
Was that the kind of boat culture you were engaged in?
Drinking Santana champ because it's so crisp. I got my swim trunks.
When I'm on a boat, either I'm taking a boat from somewhere to somewhere, or I'm fishing.
Like a water taxi?
Or I'm fishing.
Or a cruise?
Gonna fly this boat to the moon somehow!
We hung out, and we were drinking beer and grilling shrimp.
I'm flipping burgers, you at Kinko Straight, flipping cabbage!
Every boat has like one of these electric Webers. You're not allowed to have charcoal, no open flames.
I was gonna say, that seems like a bad idea on a boat.
Captain Garnet, anything is possible!
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Happy Friday, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. It is Bernstein and McKnight. Got some baseball stuff we got to get into right away here.
A lot of baseball.
A weird, sort of uncomfortable story.
Oh, also that part.
Developing that we got to just figure out. I don't know why certain people are taking this in certain directions, and I'm a little confused by all of it, but it's not a comfortable thing.
It's a story with big pieces to it, but apparently everyone is grabbing at the free umbrage that's available and just taking that for themselves instead of the actual story that's at hand. It's very strange.
10 o'clock, we are going to do an MLB trade deadline, a market whip around, and that's going to be representatives from various teams and cities to give us the lowdown on what is going to be bought or sold. Wayne Randazzo, Adam the Bull, Rock Kubatko, David O'Brien, Matt Gelb, Chelsea Jane, Zach Buchanan, and Bart Winkler are going to join us. We'll do the midday midway at 11. Jonah Carey at noon. We're out a little early for Cubs. We got some surprises possible as well, maybe from Wrigley Field.
We have people at the park.
Around there. This segment brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Music City Bowl champs host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. 312-644-6767 is our phone number at WSCR The Score. Email us at bernsteinandmcknight@670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. We have texting and the occasional wayward sext, especially on a Randy Friday. He's actually the overnight guy now. He's
got Randy Friday? Yeah. Changes all around.
Yeah, 67011. You text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1McKnight. I'm at Dan_Bernstein. And we have a Facebook page. You can like it at the 670 The Score page, and that will introduce you to a kind of a human interaction you've probably never seen before.
But maybe you need.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not.
You can go there for Facebook Live and watch 670thescore.com. These cameras you can see is the video feed directed by Brian Gertsch. Our producers are Shane Reardon.
Righty on lefty. First pitch by Duvall. Swing, and that's foul. Straight back, and off my computer. Oh my goodness. That just happened. So my computer is completely cracked. I tried to put my hand up and stop the baseball, and it went straight back, and now that one almost came back. And this became one of the worst days I have had in quite some time.
Aww.
This just became one of the worst days I have had in quite some time.
Yeah, that's too bad, because having been a minor league baseball broadcaster, then you don't have $1,000 to go spend on a new laptop.
No, you don't have a backup. They've got nothing else around with you. You saw it too. The guy's screen was completely cracked.
Yeah,
absolutely gone.
And following him on Twitter, there were some people. The guy who we're going to have on, Wayne Randazzo, his buddy. Is it Randy Hoover? Is that his name? Roger Hoover, thank you. That he is I guess they're saying, hey, Apple customer service, maybe you hook the guy up here. So what
in the line of duty.
Yeah, what happened was, Roger Hoover is his name, what happened was it was only the display that broke. The computer actually worked. So he had to go back to his hotel room and hook in the computer to the television to do the game notes. So, but he did it. You do what you have to do at that point, and you make it work. And he, there have been people trying to say, hey, you gotta hook.
Yeah, the
this
guy needs
up.
A little help,
right? It is the AA Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Is that right?
That sounds right.
The Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp.
They I know my shrimp. They're in Jacksonville.
The AA Southern League affiliate of the Marlins. I've had all kinds of it. You were almost killed by a
I was, yeah. Foul I was back, almost killed right? by a foul ball. That was James Shields to Abraham Almonte. I didn't see it. There was a scoring change. And it has to be changed correctly right away. So it went from a stolen base to a DI or whatever it was. And Shields quick pitched Almonte. And the thing whistles up there. I could hear the seams. I felt it. It made a dent in the drywall behind me. I nearly died. Darren Jackson came running over, thought I was dead.
Didn't you sign it?
I signed the wall. I think it's still there.
On the board is Eli Hershkovich.
That's the best curveball by far Verlander's thrown. If he gets that over, might as well not go up with a bat.
That was wicked.
Yep. Yes, it was.
That's one of those curveballs going to end up on Pitching Ninja on Twitter tomorrow. Are you a follower of Pitching Ninja?
No. As many ninjas as I follow, the Pitching Ninja is not one of them.
Yeah, he's following Ninja as he's playing Fortnite. You know, Ninja, the famous gamer that makes $500,000 a month playing Fortnite.
That's what Sony does whenever he goes home from the ball game. Just immediately logs into Twitch and watches Ninja play Fortnite.
Follows Ninja. Did you see Ninja sold out a Willis Tower Fortnite event? I don't know if it is this weekend? There's some sort of huge Fortnite gathering at Willis Tower. It sold out in like 2 seconds. It's people get to hang out and watch Ninja play or take on all comers.
This is a dude who has 40,000 people leave his live stream after going offline for 3 days. Because I didn't realize you're supposed to be on all the time, this Twitch thing.
You're not allowed to have a life, apparently.
I had no clue.
People get mad at you if you stop playing a video game to like tend to your children or something.
Unbelievable. So the guy loses 40,000 people and is still the number one guy watched on this whole system on Twitch. It's
and
unbelievable.
People throw money at him. It's not just sponsorships. People watch
through the app.
Yep, people just watch him play and say, hey, great watching you play. Here's 10 bucks.
It's unbelievable.
He makes $6 million a year, estimated, playing Fortnite. Think about that. In the back, doing what he does, the Mexicutioner, Ray Diaz.
Wonderful to continue to watch it because it is...
Oh, my goodness! Did I just see Derek Jones Jr. again fly through the air?
Airplane mode!
Is that
airplane mode?
Is that a reference to something?
Doug Christie doing his thing, man.
Okay, that's just Doug Christie saying airplane. But is he impersonating something from a video game? Airplane. Okay.
Airplane mode.
I mean, I like it, but it's insanity.
I'm for it. This segment brought to you by Dell. Dell's Black Friday and July sale, up to 40% off and deals on PCs with Intel Core processors. Plus, get free shipping. Visit Dell.com/businessdeals or 877-BUY-DELL. Let's figure out the Dexter Fowler story, because we know that there's been a Chicago connection to the story based on the number of writers and or broadcasters in St. Louis that feel that the Chicago market's attention to Dexter Fowler is now part of the story. When my belief is the story was that Dexter Fowler signed an $80 million contract and now is bad at baseball, the general manager calls out his effort level while Fowler's on paternity leave for the birth of his second daughter. And Fowler's reacting to it, and yet somehow there's this obsession with why Chicago fans or why Chicago people who do what we do are interested in this, just because we've had experience with this guy who was a critical component of a world champion.
I kind of feel like there's national interest in this story, regardless of whether we're here and Dexter Fowler's best friends in baseball, at least a handful of them, play for the Cubs, or whether or not he was a member of a historic World Series championship team. There's national interest when a GM calls out the work ethic, the hustle of a ball player that he signed to a free agent deal. That's you don't hear GMs question those things that often.
All right, Dexter Fowler says that the criticism from general manager John Mozeliak embarrassed him.
It was a little bit of a, you know, embarrassment. Obviously, your name and effort and all that doesn't want to be, you know, in the same sentence, especially his lack thereof. But at the end of the day, I talked to Mo. Mo apologized, and he said it wasn't meant to be like that.
Well, even though we kind of know it was, and he understands that this is just something he's going to have to ride out.
When it's out there in the world, it gets to be out there, and you know, you just got to roll with the punches. I know the team's not doing as well as what we should, and I guess that I was the blunt of bad news. But you know, I'll take it. I'll wear it, and I just got to go out and when I get a chance and play a little better.
Say blunt or brunt?
Think brunt.
I think he meant brunt. I think he said blunt.
It's entirely possible.
Okay. And he's not the only one that paid attention to this stuff, because this affected the other guys in the clubhouse too.
They reached out to me, and you know, and they were mad. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm a ride for these guys when, you know, when times are tough, when they're not, and you know, I'm gonna give my all. And you know, the people I played with before, the people I play with now, they know where my heart's at.
So how about the non-apology that didn't really work from Mozeliak?
He was sorry he said it, and I respect him for reaching out and telling me and giving me a heads up, and, you know, me and Mo are good.
Okay, well, here this is what confused me.
It's the least
me.
He can do.
Right. I want to get to a paragraph here from Ben Fredrickson, and this is the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Yes.
At STL Today.
Yes.
There's one paragraph here, this is what gets me. Fowler's struggles have sparked questions about his age, 32, physical health, mental health, diet, and overall happiness. These are not conversations about Fowler's deceptive speed and fielding style. These concerns about everything from Fowler's decreased exit velocity to the noticeable funk that seems to follow him like a cloud. What are you talking about?
I don't know. There seems to be some purpose behind some of those words. I don't know necessarily if there is or if there isn't, but it's not as though Dexter Fowler's appearance, it's not as though Dexter's existence on this team didn't start with some issue to begin with, right? Whether it was his issue with fans coming after him on Twitter when he mentioned his disagreement with a travel ban that was passed by the president at the time. Dexter Fowler's wife is from Iran. Fans weren't really happy to hear him criticize a policy that affects his family, which is probably one of the most understandable things you can imagine.
It's literally his family.
We're over
he has
and
family
over
in Iran,
asking
yes.
our athletes to be, at least I continue to. It seems perhaps some of the fans of the Cardinals weren't interested in it, and that's fine if you don't want your athletes to be honest and real people. I happen to. I actually kind of like it. I think some nuance and some layer and some complexity is fun when evaluating watching these guys play ball. You had something that affects immediately his family. He's not allowed to have an opinion on that, share that opinion on the website that is Twitter. That's what the damn thing is for.
There's the whole the elephant in the room here is the cultural difference between not just St. Louis itself and some of the tensions that St. Louis has bubbling to the surface, especially with their athletes.
The tensions in St. Louis had bubbled, exploded, resimmered, and are bubbling.
Well, there's
It's not as though the last 5 years are without, right. You know, conflict.
He doesn't talk to Matheny, apparently, and Matheny is very set in his ways as a manager who's going to run a certain kind of clubhouse and favor a certain type of player that fits his vision of what baseball is supposed to look like.
Yeah, regardless who's writing on this story, whether it's people here, people in St. Louis or elsewhere and nationally, you've got pieces of this franchise that are seemingly starting to fray a little bit. And I'm surprised that a conversation about Mike Matheny hadn't happened earlier in his tenure as manager. I'm surprised, to be quite honest, that you've now got things leaking out of this relationship with whether it's Mozeliak and Fowler or Fowler and Matheny. Mark Saxon, who wrote a piece in The Athletic, and is now talking about that very relationship. The relationship between Fowler and Cardinals management is more fraught than Mozeliak's comments hinted at. According to multiple sources, again, this is Saxon, on and around the team, Fowler and Matheny barely talk and haven't for months. And it's just, you know, Matheny is a guy who has been quick to bench players. Matheny is a guy who has been quick to, if you had hits last night, you will play the next night. I don't know a lot of managers who manage that way. I don't know a lot of managers who manage bullpens the way he's managed them in the past either. He's, you know, they continue. And often in this conversation, Harrison Bader is brought up as the opposite of Dexter Fowler. Or if not the opposite, then at least the guy who
the
would
alternative.
Play the alternative to Dexter Fowler. Harrison Bader runs like the wind. He's an incredibly good defensive outfielder, and that's not to be missed. We, in this town, had an outfielder sign a very large contract who plays incredible defense that over and over kept him in a lineup for Joe Maddon in a World Series year, right? Mm-hmm. Despite his offensive struggles.
Who also had experience with the Cardinals and is friends with Dexter
Fowler. And with
Fowler.
Dexter Fowler. Yeah, incidentally, that is the case. Fowler's defensive numbers don't speak for him the way Jason Hayward's did in that season and seasons hence. However, Bader's not been hitting all that well. And it's so you've got these, what they offer up as alternative, or what has been offered up as alternative, hasn't been this, you know, just by and large better player. Hasn't been this top to bottom solution to a problem. It's just been a guy who plays better defense and looks like he's got to hustle a lot more because he kind of has to.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. The Chicago Wolves are making big plans for their 25th anniversary. Get your season tickets now and receive exclusive benefits. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. Real quick, the Cubs lineup is out for the game against Cincinnati.
Tell me.
And I like the fact that there's a little more sandpaper to a Cincinnati series when they just kicked the Cubs ass the last time out. And now you got some here. It isn't just, oh, here come the Reds, let's eat. Albert Elmora leads off. He's in center field. Jason Hayward in right batting second. Javier Baez bats third, plays third. Rizzo cleaning up, playing first. Ben Zobrist is at second, batting fifth. Kyle Schwarber in left. Contreras the catcher. Russell at short. And Mike Montgomery is on the mound for the Cubs.
A name missing in that lineup. Chris
yep.
Bryant's still out.
Correct. So has yet to be activated. You wonder if through the weekend, and if you wonder how this is responding, we've not heard from KB. We've just heard from people who have watched him and talked to him, and maybe they're just thinking better to let this thing stop barking and quiet down before hurrying him back.
When we talked to Joe about all the off days in this little run here, you know, this past Monday and then yesterday, obviously, you got one more off day, the 12th of July. That's Thursday before the three-game series against the Padres and then the All-Star break. It begs the question, or at least you have to start to wonder whether or not those off days are just too enticing, you know, to get around and to play with some.
Talking about the Dexter Fowler situation, look, the fact is he has been bad.
Yes,
What underpins this is he's been awful.
But there are other franchises with underperforming and or very bad free agent signings or massive extensions. You look at Chris Davis with the Orioles. You look at Jason Hayward here. This does not lack precedent.
And the St. Louis Post-Dispatch column by Ben Fredrickson, he refers to this. He said, what led the Cardinals and Fowler to this point is complicated by the opinions of those involved, along with the conclusions you have formed while following Chicago's favorite soap opera. Is it that? I didn't know.
What is our favorite soap opera?
I didn't know.
I'm a General Hospital guy. Always have been.
I don't like any of them. I don't know that it was anybody's favorite soap opera here. He then also says, the Cardinals don't need to rush a Fowler conclusion because pillar of positivity Joe Maddon and the Chicago media are following the Fowler fiasco with clutched pearls. Is that true? I think you're certainly following it because it's interesting.
It's a very interesting story.
But the clutched pearls means that something is terrible for the children.
It's
right?
An organization that holds up its history so as a shield to deflect from any kind of criticism and any kind of distaste like this, right? So if you're going to use that kind of history, if you're going to use the 11 World Series championships and all the storied players of old,
let's
take a look at what the recent history is, right? I mean, this is a team from a baseball standpoint, this is a team that's underperformed. This is a team that has made the playoffs in longer than they'd like, and this is a team that has a massive free agent signing in Dexter Fowler that has not panned out. There are questions around how that team is being built from here on out. There are questions around giving Yadier Molina a contract. Well, not questions from over there, but questions around other places about giving Yadier Molina the contract they did. Knowing what age he is and what position he plays, willfully giving him a contract like that. Okay. I still think, though, if you're going to run a franchise like that and then not get the results that you're so used to getting, questions are worth asking.
I also know that Dexter Fowler, before he signed that deal, was told St. Louis is a weird place, and it's not going to be the Cubs. You better love money. You better love money, because going from the Joe Madden group hug to going to a Mike Matheny clubhouse is he did not go in unaware.
Ask Tommy Pham. It's not just put up or shut up. It's not just, well, play better, and then you'll get what you need from the organization and from those around it. Sometimes you play really well, and you got to sit your ass in AAA for a lot longer than you ought.
For no good reason, really. This segment brought to you by Shell. Get triple action protection for optimal engine performance with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. The whole thing is just, it's kind of too bad. As well-liked as Fowler was, and the fact that they didn't think he was going to resign, and then he shows up and
right.
Was like, hey, look who's here. And he mattered. He was immensely important. That whole you go, we go thing. We heard Joe Madden talked about it when we had him on the show. Mm-hmm. But I'm just curious why writers or broadcasters in St. Louis want to kind of carry water. Are they just using Chicago media generally as some sort of straw man because their readers or viewers enjoy that?
It's possible. I have heard, though, or at least read, I suppose, from a lot in St. Louis, the three guys we mentioned, Saxon and Fredrickson, and I'm spacing on a third, but I know there's a third that I'd read, that really took Mozeliak's apology, which Dexter Fowler was kind enough to acknowledge and appreciate. It was a bad apology. It was borderline nonsensical in its logical argument about, you know, having gone out, and that's not what I meant, and it's not how we... It was what you meant. Mm-hmm. Those words, the point of this, the story is so tantalizing, the story is so interesting, is that because the words that general manager of a ball club used are not take-backable. Those things are out there now. Those are the things you do not criticize about a ball player unless you've got something tangible. He's been very bad.
But this thing
he could
about
have sat on that.
The funk that follows him around like a cloud.
It's weird.
What is that? Where is he getting that from? For a writer to put something like that in there, I'm wondering where that's coming from. If he's getting this on background from somebody, if he's getting this from somebody in the organization, because the writer's not there every day. It's awful presumptuous for a writer to describe someone as having a funk that follows them around like a cloud. That for that to get into a piece like this tells me that somebody's sharing something about a one side of a perception that rang strange with me. These concerns about everything from Fowler's decreased exit velocity to the noticeable funk that seems to follow him like a cloud. When that's in the Post-Dispatch, that's coming from someone.
It's also kind of strange to juxtapose it with something that is provable, a lack of exit velocity.
Right.
That's been measured. We talked about that, two, 3 days ago, I think, before we left for the fourth.
Right.
Saras wrote this up. That is an incontrovertible fact. He is not hitting the ball as hard, and that's alarming. By the way, there's this weird funk that follows him around.
Yeah. The rhetorical choice to tie something that nebulous and subjective to something that is the opposite of nebulous and subjective is a way of Trojan horsing it a little bit. Here's a list of things that are wrong. This thing, verifiably, objectively
wrong.
His age,
32. His exit velocity, bad. It's just weird.
And noticeable funk that follows him around like a cloud.
What? And Eli played the cut, too, from Fowler about his teammates having been upset about what was said by Mozeliak as well, right? Mm-hmm. And them letting him know that irked them too. So if you're going to talk about funk that follows you around like a cloud, somebody close to him, somebody in an everyday clubhouse situation has to have given you that. Otherwise, it's kind of seems odd itself.
Does anybody have their eyes on Neil Funk? Is it him?
That's your point guard, Neil Funk.
George Clinton and the P-Funk?
Yeah, it could be any. Well, if it is Neil Funk, that would get to, it'd be like the Scooby-Doo villain being unmasked.
And we would have got away with it, too, right, if it wasn't for that meddling Neil Funk.
Splices this one in. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Shane Reardon has put his own ass in the jackpot because he's got a list of guests. We're going to go to market. And we're going to go from city to city, and
going to make Shane's heart explode.
Yeah, we're going to find out who's selling, who's buying, and we will see if the 5-point exploding heart technique works on our own producer. That is, we're going to just guest it up one after the other, starting at 10 o'clock. 312-644-6767. You want to weigh in on this increasingly bizarre Dexter Fowler story as we apparently are clutching pearls and enjoying a soap opera? I guess. Okay. You got the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The blunt
of bad news.
I was the blunt of bad news.
Still not as bad as a misstep as John Mozeliak made in calling Dexter Fowler's energy out to begin with. It's a weird story.
It is so weird.
It's a strange, strange story. And then there's apparently now there's a little bit more bubbling too. Mark Saxon writing in The Athletic that the relationship between Fowler and Mike Matheny is strained and it continues to... They don't talk, apparently. There's not a conversation that's had, which is a difficult place to be with a manager.
And the whole idea of being a black athlete in St. Louis is something that... Fowler had to come to grips with. I mean, that's in this piece here. Mark Saxon says, before he signed his 5-year, $82.5 million contract prior to the 2016 season, Fowler expressed some concern about racial segregation in the St. Louis area and the overall socio-political climate. Fair enough. Because that's well-earned and well-understood.
Absolutely.
Mozeliak asked Cardinals Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith to call him. Said, hearing the joy Ozzie had for the city, it definitely helped, Fowler said at the time. You look at Lou Brock and some of these other... Don't start me on Lou Brock.
This is a flash. I haven't done that. Don't look at me like I did that.
This is a flash.
Don't look at me like you reading Lou Brock on someone else's article.
I'm talking to Mark Saxon.
Means that I did anything to you.
I'm not blaming you. I'm just, you're here and I'm taking it out on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, okay, because my 12 years Catholic guilt really needs that right now. Yeah, thank you so much.
Look, you don't want to learn about cricket accidentally.
No, I don't. I do not.
I don't want to be forced to explain that Lou Brock was bad because... It's a Brock Vibrolio. It wasn't that bad a trade. Lou Brock was bad. He's one of the worst Hall of Famers. And it's
I haven't tiered the bad Hall of Famers.
Oh boy, yeah. If you really,
there is no way that Lou Brock.
Yeah. There's a way.
Was categorically bad, right?
Well, relative to Hall of Famers.
Okay, now we're talking, mm-hmm. But not categorically bad.
Yeah, he was pretty bad.
All right, fine.
Yeah, they kind of we didn't know things about baseball when he played, or we thought we knew things, and there were other things that we didn't know, and we didn't quite understand like what was actually happening until afterward.
But he stole so many bases.
Yeah. Look at the
he had so many RBIs.
Look at the defense
from the leadoff spot.
Look at the defense in left field. So
Dan says, don't get me started on Lou Brock.
That's what happens. He said, you look at Lou Brock and some of those other guys, this is a good organization. Asked if his problems as a Cardinal were related to things away from the field as well as on it, Fowler said, yeah, everywhere. You have your ups, you have your downs. It certainly is a down, but it's a lot of money. You got to love money. If you want to take a job and play for Mike Matheny and be with this team at this stage of your career, you got to love those $82 million.
Well, from the other side of this, too, just let's look at the pure baseball side of things. World Series winning outfielder signs 5-year, $82.5 million contract to join a team that they thought was going to rebound and somehow keep pace with a tough division in a Cubs team that had all that young talent. Or a Brewers team that was kind of percolating, some a Pirates team that had yet to blow up with or blow themselves up with an Andrew McCutchen trade and a Gerrit Cole trade, right? And that's a tough NL Central at the time Dexter Fowler signed. Still is. But you've got a franchise, an organization that had expectations both of Fowler and of themselves internally and have not met those expectations. They haven't gotten Adam Wainwright back. That's an entire thing in and of itself. Alex Reyes getting hurt yet again has set that franchise back quite a bit.
Yes.
Sure, they've gotten some nice things from Carlos Martinez, and nice to have Michael Wacha bounce back and become a pitcher again, despite Mike Matheny himself ruining Michael Wacha for the better part of a year and a half, maybe two. But let's not put that on the manager. This is an organization that has dealt with frustration, not just in the Dexter Fowler contract, but in other elements that have all kind of conflated to this point.
This segment is brought to you by Webb Chevy. Searching for a great deal on Chevys in Chicago? Visit Webb Chevy in Plainfield or Oak Lawn. We should remind you that tickets are on sale right now for the second installment of the Cubs on Deck Luncheon Series. The first one was memorably fun, at least from my perspective. I thought we had an in-depth discussion with three really interesting baseball players.
Three very different baseball players. From like a headspace point of view, we got it from all three different perspectives.
So when we started with Javier Baez and Luke Farrell and Ian Happ, on July 23rd, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. from the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigley, we're going to be hanging out with Wilson Contreras and Mike Montgomery from noon to 1. So you want to come out and hang out. There's plenty of food. There's plenty of drink. It is just an ideal place. And tickets are going fast. On sale now. You want to be a part of this? On sale now. Go to 670thescore.com/ondeck. That's 670thescore.com/ondeck. And the On Deck Luncheon Series is presented by AZEK Building Products and by Xfinity.
Yeah, and if you haven't been out to the new area around the Gallagher Way and the Brickhouse Tavern and stuff around Wrigley Field, this is a pretty decent chance to do it as well. You get yourself a chance to hang out with a couple of Cubs and see the new stuff around the ballpark in case you haven't been out lately.
There's so much going on. And this is one of those places where, and you know what actually has happened now? That I don't, maybe other people have too. If you live around the area or live close enough.
You and I both.
And, you know, I know that my wife and I both, we always have the pocket schedule in the car. So you're not fumbling with a phone to say, where are they? Are they here? Are they not here?
Right.
For traffic reasons. If you have to get the kids somewhere or move around the city, what's happening is people are arriving earlier and people are staying later. I'm noticing it in the traffic.
Really?
Where it used to be game over, boom, you had an hour and the cars would – people are hanging. People – there is – and that's completely anecdotal, and it's just what I feel that I'm noticing based on the timing of some of the traffic patterns. It does seem to me like they're getting people there earlier, and they're retaining a crowd around the park a little later.
I'm trying to think. I took Addison down to the highway the other day just after – about an hour after a Cubby. It took me 22 instead of the 35 it usually takes me. That's nice. That's kind of a – and that's yet without the – what is it? The new building that's going up, Addison and Clark on the southeast side, that's still yet to come online with all of its parking and shops and everything like that.
Carl Edwards Jr. has been activated. So while Chris Bryant has not, Carl Edwards Jr. has. And I'll look at this note from the 515. 15 left fielders, not players, just left fielders. 15 who will never be Hall of Famers have a better Jaws rating than Lou Brock. That's saying something. All right, we've never done anything like what we're about to do. This is going to be a quick-hitting trade market reset whip-around. We are going to stop in 8 different cities.
Yes.
Buying, selling, swapping, trading, cash or trash. We are going to have it all for you with people in the know. And Shane, you're on the clock. This is coming your way next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.